Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey.
We wish that all universities would recognize the authority of Jesus. Unfortunately, they don't, and many attack the Christian faith and the Bible in our day, and that's why we call our program the Lions Den University Report. But we're here in Washington, D.C. at George Washington University. And as I was reading some of the history, I came across the person who started the university. It was started with a grant by George Washington, who left it in his will to start a college like this. But Reverend Luther Rice was the man who got it going. And Luther Rice had been a missionary to India. He was impacted. Some of you have heard us talk about the Haystack Monument at Williams College that records the start of the modern American missionary movement. Well, Luther Rice was one of the students impacted by that Haystack revival, and he went as a missionary to India about the same time as Adoniram Judson, the famous Baptist missionary, also went to India. They were both expelled because missionaries were expelled about that time from India. And Adoniram Judson went to Burma and started the missions work there. But Luther Rice came back to the United States to spread the message of reaching our world missions, taking the gospel of Christ to every people, as the heaven is described as a place with people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And he took the message that we need missionaries from around the world, and he started about 10 or more universities, and one of the ones that he started was right here where we are today, George Washington University, with a campus right in the center of Washington, D.C., and amazing how many acres they have in such a crowded place. But my guest for this program is Dr. Royce Francis, and he's a professor here in the engineering field. And Royce, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you very much.
And now, I've met you before in Baltimore.
Yes, that's right.
And because we have had on our program, your wife was a guest. She's a graduate student there at Johns Hopkins University in nursing, I believe. And we had the pleasure of meeting her. She was from Haiti.
Yes.
And just quite a testimony of how God had worked in her life and how she met you. We've talked a little bit about that, didn't we? And what an interesting godly courtship, I would say, that you two had, and entered into Christian marriage and now have two children.
Yes, that's right.
All right. What are the names of your children?
We have Hadassah. She is 5 months old now. And we have Emmanuel. He's 3 and a half. They're born 1 day apart, 3 years apart.
Is that right?
That's
all right.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And so they add a lot of energy to your life activity. And so, but you're here as a professor of engineering at George Washington University. What was your background? How did you end up in deciding to go into engineering? And what were your studies along the way?
Yeah, so I decided to go into engineering when I was in high school because I wanted something where I could combine some of my outdoor interests and my interest in study. And so I received a view book. This is not technical at all, the reason I came to engineering. I received a view book from the University of Southern California. And in the view book, the civil engineering example had someone climbing a utility pole.
Oh.
So I said, he's outside and he's gotta be smart, obviously, so let's try that.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's how I ended up in civil engineering.
Great.
And my parents, they didn't want me to go to USC because they were afraid of its neighborhood. USC is in South Central LA. And so if you're not from LA, then you kind of get a little bit worried about where your kids are going if you're not familiar with the area. So instead, they sent me to Howard University here in DC. To some outsiders, Howard is probably just in a neighborhood that was just as dangerous as South Central, but both of my parents graduated from Howard. So,
oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, so they're comfortable with DC, and then we have family here in DC as well. But anyway, so how did I end up here? What made me decide to become a professor? At Howard, there was a very influential African-American studies professor named Professor Carr. And I remember people that would go from his class, and they would be having a lot of conversation about what they learned in class. They'd be talking about what Professor Carr said. And I said, wow, you know, as a professor, you can have a lot of influence on the way students think.
Right.
But instead of students necessarily talking about what I had to say in class, I wanted to actually help students learn how to think and influence their patterns of thinking. And so that's really what made me start along the professor path. It wasn't necessarily the research at first. I didn't really understand what research really meant until I ended up at Carnegie Mellon in grad school.
Right.
I didn't really have a good idea of what professors did, but I knew that they had a large influence on undergraduates.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And now you're in the tenure process here.
Yes,
you're
that's
not
right.
yet tenured here at George Washington.
That's right. I'm an assistant professor here.
And so that's a major challenge, and but it sounds like it fits in right with those ideas of engineering and outdoors. What is your study that you're working on right now?
Yeah, so I don't do too much outdoors anymore. I am studying infrastructure risk analysis. And so what that means is I do a lot of statistical modeling, and I try to help understand how decision makers might use that information, or I create statistical models with the intention that these models might help support investment decisions or risk management decisions sometime in the future. So as an example, one of the projects that I work on with a professor at Johns Hopkins University, his name is Professor Seth Geikema. One of the projects I work on with him involves modeling the breakage of pipes in the drinking water distribution network. So these are not the transmission water mains, the big ones, 4 foot wide ones that carry water from reservoirs to pumping stations, these type of things. These are the smaller mains that are about 6 inches or less. These are called distribution mains or small diameter mains. And these tend to break a good amount. They break a lot. And many of our utilities need to figure out how they could replace these pipes. And so one part of the decision-making process for a utility is trying to understand how likely these pipes are to break in the future. And so that's where our model might be used by decision-makers in a utility.
Right, okay. And then you were telling me about another project, too, that
you're getting some
students to work on with you, is the air quality.
That's right, air quality. So this one is actually outdoors. And so even though I don't get to spend that much time outdoors, but what we're doing now is we're using portable air quality monitors. These are no larger than your Bible, if you still have a paper Bible and not using your phone or a tablet.
Right.
They're no larger than maybe your Bible. It's about 7 inches tall and maybe 3 or 4 inches deep. And what these things allow us to do is we can compare particulate matter emissions, for example, small particles that are formed when you burn diesel or unleaded fuels. You don't completely burn them, and so these small particles of carbon can be inhaled into your lungs. We are measuring these in Ivy City because Ivy City believes that new sources of this PM2.5 from buses being parked in their neighborhood.
And Ivy City is
Ivy City
in
is
DC
here in DC. Yes, yeah. That's right. It's in Northeast DC. It's a small neighborhood in Northeast DC.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned that there are more sources being placed in their neighborhood without taking account of the possible impacts on their community's health. And so we're working with the community to try and understand how they can build an air quality network, an air quality monitoring network that can help them understand their exposures within their community.
Mm-hmm. Great. And God has given us a wonderful mind to be able to solve problems and to analyze situations. And we believe that is a reflection of that we're made in His image, don't
yes.
we?
Yes, that's right.
And so as you study the world around you and so on, you recognize the Creator there.
Yes.
And we were talking before, you wonder why other people don't necessarily recognize that.
Yes. It's we're definitely talking about that. I think it's challenging. I think in our environment, there's a lot of, I don't know how to say it, there's a lot of relativism, and there are a lot of times when you see the consequences of that either practically, so if you have certain rules in your class, maybe, and you need to enforce those rules, but certain people don't feel they apply and so on. This could be a more practical expression of that relativism. Why should these consequences apply to me, even though I don't necessarily feel that your rules are valid? But I think it's challenging to me as a risk analyst because risk analysis is very values oriented. Okay, the reason that we care about risks at all is because some people feel that if I have a power plant, I shouldn't be able to emit any types of things out of my air stack that I want to without taking into account the fact that I'm having an impact on you. And so it's a values thing. It's something that I should be able to pursue my own enhancement, my own economic gains, but I shouldn't be able to do that at your expense. I should be able to consider your rights as well, because you're made in God's image. Well, if we don't have that foundation, how do we perform risk analysis? How do we select the right types of values? How do we take account of the different stakeholder values that come into play when we're trying to make these difficult infrastructure decisions? So that's not going to be practical to my undergrads, but certainly in the professional arena, certainly when we start talking at the graduate level about how you do some of these risk analysis types of practices, types of models, the most important dimension of risk assessment, risk analysis, is trying to understand who your population is and what their values are, how they're going to respond to the types of risks that are imposed on them. And this part is really where the fact that there's a lot more relativism, you can't really appeal to people's responsibility before God in order to identify how we can do risk assessment in a way that shows love for the community around them. This is really, to me, one of the more challenging parts of the work that I do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we, as Christians, we believe everybody's made in the image of God, and
yes,
that Jesus died for the sins of all who would accept him as their mm-hmm. Savior. And so each person is part of our concern and says we should consider the interests of others as well as being selfish and considering our own interests.
Yes.
It's easier just to be selfish, and that's the tendency to sin. But mm-hmm. the Christian view is that everyone is important and of
that's
equal
right.
worth. And also, I think it was one of the doctors down at the University of Virginia Hospital who said, mm-hmm. Robert Cantrell, who said, he described the Bible as the owner's manual for human life. Okay, that
yeah.
the values there mm-hmm. are the values made by the designer.
Yes.
And he knows how it works best. And so whatever it is, if you're trying to help human beings, mm-hmm. If you follow God's standards, you'll help them the most. And
yes.
I think one of the areas we see this most graphically is as we talked with your wife about your courtship and
that's right.
honoring and respecting each other in the marriage relationship and sexuality, that God mm-hmm. designed that. And we have rampant AIDS and diseases
yeah.
in our country because we're not following the plan
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
And so there are consequences as well as there being absolute standards. It's not a relativistic
that's right.
thing that you choose what you want and I choose what I want.
Yeah.
But the consequences are there. If we choose the right choice, we avoid the negative consequences,
yes.
and we gain the positive.
Yes, we do.
But so the challenge is then how to communicate that. And you, I think you're interested in trying to figure out, you know, what
yeah.
the non-Christian is thinking to try and
oh, yes.
help them come to faith. We're glad you're here, though, as a representative of Jesus Christ in the university at George mm-hmm. Washington University, and trust our listeners might remember to pray for you as you
absolutely.
Make these decisions and that you have opportunities to share your faith. I know, as we talked about initially, mm-hmm. You know, the influence of Christians in the starting of many of these universities, and
yes.
Reverend Luther Rice here at as he started
GW.
George Washington University, that we would pray that there would be a new openness
yes.
to the gospel. And
that's right.
to Jesus and the teachings of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
Because even though people have wandered away from those, they're still the answer, and Jesus
yes.
is still the way, the truth, and the life. And so my guest has been Royce Francis, professor here in the engineering school at George Washington University,
mm-hmm.
and also the husband of one of our previous guests,
yes.
His wife, that Lucine Francis, that
yes.
we interviewed, who's a graduate student at Johns Hopkins University in nursing. And Royce, thanks for joining us today, and we trust that God will continue to guide you in your work here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Glenn.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.